It's a warm summer afternoon in Kansas City, and friends are gathered on a Midtown front porch. The sound of the cicadas is joined by another familiar sound. The opening of the beverage that will fuel their fellowship.
And what drink would that be?
Not a cold beer, actually. It's flavored sparkling water, LaCroix to be exact, and what was once a Midwestern beverage of modest popularity has exploded to both coasts like a shaken up pop can. Today, we're trying to figure out how and why on KCUR Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison, and Libby Nelson is joining us by Skype from Washington, D.C. Libby, good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you with us. You write about education policy for Vox, the online news site. You're a serious reporter, but this summer you gave us a comprehensive picture of LaCroix, including your own memories of it as a kid. What drew you to this story?
Well, I'm really glad you started out by saying I was a serious reporter, because I did not expect this would be the story I would be being interviewed about.
Right. This is like the biggest story of your career now, isn't it?
I'm sorry about that, Libby. It's all right. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to do and to write. The way I initially got interested in it is that it just was this question that was sort of had been in the back of my mind for a little while, which is over the past year or so. So this is now going back to like late autumn, I would say last year. Everybody I knew on the East Coast was suddenly talking about and drinking what a lot of them were calling LaCroix, which was the sort of canned seltzer water I remembered as a kid. And I had not seen it or heard of it other than being in Minnesota in the past, 10 to 15 years. And I just started to wonder what was going on here.
And we should explain, by the way, about that pronunciation. It's the beverage is spelled LaCroix. So LaCroix, I guess, would be a more accurate French pronunciation.
Yeah, that's definitely how you would say it in France. But they do specify on their website, the company that makes it a national beverage is out of Wisconsin. And they specify on their website that is LaCroix, as in St. Croix, Wisconsin, or the La Crosse, Wisconsin, or the St. Croix River is where it comes from.
Right. All right. So you remember this drink growing up, and here suddenly your friends on the East Coast are drinking it.
Right. There's this very vivid memory of we had a brunch for some of the folks from work sometime early this spring, I would say, and somebody showed up with a case of LaCroix. And people were so excited. Like, I had made like homemade bagels or something, but what people were really excited about was the sparkling water. And that was the point where I was like, okay, something's going on here. This isn't normal.
What do you remember about LaCroix in your own childhood? Like, do you remember anything, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is also the part where I should say that I am super thrilled to be on KCUR, because I grew up in Kansas City. I grew up in Leawood. And so I have very fond memories of listening to it as a kid. Well, basically, I remember it as sort of this drink that like friends of my mom's in the 90s would drink if they were trying to be healthy. For some reason, I have this very vivid memory of one of my Girl Scout leaders taking it on a camping trip one weekend, and that the kids weren't allowed to drink it or we weren't interested in it.
Right.
But like that visual made a real impression on me. And I also, this didn't make it to the story, but I worked at a summer camp in Minnesota on and off through college and a little bit after, and we would drink it there as well. It was sort of a treat we could have away from the kids, but that wasn't, alcoholic or something we couldn't have on site. And so that was sort of our nice treat at the end of the day. So I remember it as like very much this Midwestern thing that I associate with the Midwest. And that is definitely not the kind of thing that East Coast people would usually be like, oh, this is the cool drink of the summer now.
Back in the 90s, where did a person even find LaCroix? Who was drinking it?
That's a great question. I was not doing the grocery shopping at that time, so
right.
I can't answer that to be totally sure. But it's always been in Walmart, in Target, at grocery stores. It's never been a particularly difficult to find product. It's not like you have to drive to the one market, 20 miles away to find it.
Right. And my sense is, as you said, you remember your mom and her friends drinking it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a mom's drink.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was their target audience. was sort of health conscious people who did not want to drink the really snooty sparkling water of the time, which was Perrier or Pellegrino. And so it was sort of one notch down from that New York sparkling water. It was sort of a healthy beverage. Women have always been the market for sort of health conscious beverages. But it was not something, for example, as far as I know, that like sorority girls in college were drinking as they are now.
Yeah, something happened over the last few years.
Yeah.
I mean, can we talk about that? I mean, one of the things that happened is the sheer numbers have grown, and they've grown pretty remarkably.
Yeah, this is the reason this went from sort of a question I was wondering about to a story that I actually took quite a bit of time to report out and write. And that's that why LaCroix has become popular is partly a story about one brand that, you know, had this like quirky moment in the spotlight, but it also is really about how what we're drinking as a country has changed a lot. People have really been cutting back on soda over the past 10 to 15 years, on sugary soda. For a while, they switched to diet soda. And then starting like right around the beginning of the recession, 2008, 2009, you start to see this huge growth in sparkling water. And so basically what people were doing was looking for something to replace soda with. And what they turned to was bottled water and also to sparkling water.
And that whole market segment, all of these bottled waters and flavored waters have grown, right?
Yeah, water in general is very much a growth industry right now. Sparkling water in particular, the amount that people drink has increased by about 150% since 2010. So it's still a really, really small portion of the overall beverage world, but it's a lot more than, say, in the early 2000s when it was very much kind of a niche product.
So among all of that flavored water universe, though, LaCroix seems to have something that nobody else has, which is, coolness.
Yeah, LaCroix is this fun combination of becoming like genuinely popular in the sense that a lot of people are drinking it, but also popular in sort of the like middle school sense of it's the cool sparkling water around. And those two things don't necessarily always happen together or don't always happen at the same time, but they really seem to have been able to seize on both.
And we want to be clear, by the way, that this is not an advertisement for LaCroix. This is a safe space for LaCroix haters, and you're all welcome to call in now. But there's no denying that this has become popular. Can we identify any of the reasons why in the world LaCroix rose above the pack?
Yeah, there's a few reasons here. One is that they were just kind of they were in the right place at the right time, but they also had this distribution system that made it very easy for them to be in a lot of places at once. So
they were already in Walmart.
And they bottle at a bunch of different plants around the country, which means that they don't have some kind of like mythical origin story of a fancy spring in the mountains. But it does mean that if you need to get products to shelves, you know, the more places around the country you have producing it, the easier it is to do that. So that's sort of the sheer volume side of the equation.
But again, it's more than just the volume. I mean, how would you describe the LaCroix vibe right now?
Yeah, I mean, the best thing to do if you're like, what on earth are you talking about, is to like search LaCroix on Instagram, and you will find all of these people taking these shots that look like they're like out of fashion magazines with a can of LaCroix in the background. Like, I look at these and I'm like, wow, like mine are on my like really messy desk at home. I feel really bad about myself right now. It very much feels like it's part of this like lifestyle.
Can you just paint a picture for us? Describe one or two of these shots that you're thinking
of? Yeah,
there's
one I think I put in my story. I'm trying to find it because I don't want to get it wrong. Yeah, it's this woman in like a denim shirt sitting on this perfectly white bed, and she has a tray like for bed and breakfast, breakfast in bed on the bed. And it's like a book, a coffee cup with a lipstick stain on it, a cactus. I don't know why there's a cactus. Like, it's this weird, like high, like really high fashion, like I would buy this hat or whatever she's advertising. And then there's a can of what looks like coconut LaCroix.
And that's it.
It's like this totally aspirational. Like, I look at that, I'm like, yeah, like I want that life. I want to wake up in a super nice bed and with my little tray of LaCroix and cactus and coffee every day.
The cactus is really the mysterious element, isn't it?
But it is, you know, it's like very trendy. It all looks like it came out of like a West Elm advertisement or something.
Then of course there's the t-shirts, the LaCroix's Before Boys t-shirts. What's the story on those?
You know, I was not able to trace like where those came from. I really wanted to, but that is like a thing you can buy. It does not appear to be affiliated with the company in any way. And there also are LaCroix watercolors. Like there are these really cute little illustrations of cans of LaCroix that you can frame and hang on your wall. So this is like very clearly beyond just being a popular beverage. It's very much a phenomenon.
We do want to know, by the way, has LaCroix won you over, our listeners? Tell us why. Did you know LaCroix before it hit the big time? We also do want you to tell us why you don't drink LaCroix, or if there's maybe a different flavor, a different brand that that works for you. We're an objective, fair, and balanced news organization, so you can call in with that too. But do call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. Talking with Libby Nelson about the growth of LaCroix. She wrote a big story on this for Vox a couple of months ago. And Libby, another part of what spread the popularity of this drink was the people who were drinking it and tweeting about it and writing about it. Who were some of the early movers on this?
Yeah, so the company that makes LaCroix did a really smart thing, which a lot of sort of brands that don't have a lot of money to promote themselves necessarily do, which is you find the people who already like it or who are primed to like it and sort of go from there. So they started out with blogs, and they sent LaCroix samples to blogs about motherhood and fitness. The paleo and Whole30 and sort of healthy eating communities are very big into it because there's no sugar, there's nothing artificial. It's, you know, it has no calories like diet soda, but it's better to drink water than diet soda. Although dentists will say that it is not great for the enamel of your teeth, I believe. So it's not, it's not perfect. Yeah. There are some downsides to an all seltzer all the time diet.
Okay.
So that's where it started in sort of one corner of the internet with this like healthy eating, fitness and motherhood blogs. And then the other part that really is this kind of zeitgeisty, you can't buy this kind of advertising part of it, was that a lot of writers in the television industry in Los Angeles started drinking LaCroix. And that sort of built on a pre-existing sparkling water thing that they already had. But they went on, you know, the best way to like get your product talked about is to get it consumed by the kind of people who like to go on the internet and talk about the things they like or talk about the things they hate. And right. So there was this big essay you quoted from, I think, in the opening in the New York Times Magazine, which was sort of the tipping point for LaCroix being a cool thing. And it was by a woman who had initially been a writer in Los Angeles. And I don't know if she actually was in the television industry, but there seemed to be this sort of all roads led. Everybody I talked to who drank it either led back to the Midwest and to like somebody's parents from the Midwest, or led to Los Angeles and to some office they'd worked in Los Angeles that ordered LaCroix.
Well, it's good to know it was available to them in a difficult environment. We should probably take a break, but again, if LaCroix has won you over, give us a call at 816-235-2888, 235-2888, or if it hasn't, tell us why not. You can also tweet at us. We're at KCURCST. When we come back, we'll keep talking with Libby Nelson of Vox about the flavors of LaCroix and how they've become a sensation unto themselves. I'm Brian Ellison. Join us for Central Standard in just a minute. It's KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. I have a friend named Laura who says that she associates drinking LaCroix with grown-up vacations. You know, excellent food, craft cocktails, all interspersed with sparkling water, preferably LaCroix, because we're grown-ups. LaCroix is all the rage among grown-ups, and we're talking today about why. Libby Nelson is the gently carbonated beverages beat reporter for Vox, and actually mentioning cocktails is not really off point. A lot of people seem to be drinking LaCroix as an alternative to the harder stuff, right?
Yeah, that's definitely part of this phenomenon as well, that it's become something that people drink as a good alternative to whatever it is they don't want to drink, whether that's alcohol or whether that's soda. And that's definitely part of what's made it so popular as well.
On the other hand, I not too long ago attended a party where the host was trying a variety of cocktails using LaCroix as the mixer. And there are gazillions of recipes on Pinterest, apparently, to choose from.
Yeah, I actually thought that's where you were going when you mentioned cocktails to begin with. I have not actually had any LaCroix cocktails. I decided at some point I'd done enough reporting for this article and maybe that was enough. But
well, I mean, research is research, Libby.
Like one of the things, and I think this was one of the fun things about this story was trying to detangle what was sort of paid promotion by LaCroix originally and what was organic. And I think some of the cocktails were actually something the company initially put out there, but clearly all over Pinterest, all over Instagram, you can find a lot of recipes.
We would love to hear from our listeners about their recipes and also their preferences. And again, it doesn't have to be LaCroix. Flavored sparkling water is all the rage among many brands. 816-235-2888 is the number to call if you want to be part of this conversation. Evelyn in Brookside is with us. Good morning, Evelyn.
Oh, good morning. It was a bit noisy, I guess, earlier. Yes, I just heard part of this when I got into my car, and I said, oh, I got to be part of this.
Are you a drinker of LaCroix, Evelyn?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But like I said, when they went to coconut, I said, that's it. No, they're going too far. I hate this trending in the United States because it was considered healthy. Yes. And it does come from springs. Yes. And that means there's still some clean waters on this planet. But yes, I love the lime and the lemon, and I haven't picked the plain, but I do boycott,
coconut.
Well, no. I'm going to a different brand.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I just
well,
don't buy it. I just don't buy
I
it.
See.
It even looks weird. I'm like, what? No, I Perrier and Pellegrino.
Yeah.
Pellegrino are both Nestle products, so I
So you don't drink those.
No, Pellegrino was one of my favorites, and I just gave that up probably about almost a year ago.
Well, Evelyn, let me ask our guest, Libby Nelson, who has done the research. You mentioned a couple of flavors there. You mentioned lemon and lime as your favorites, but Libby, she did not have nice things to say about coconut, and that's not the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, coconut is super divisive. I don't actually think I've had it, but I did not drink every flavor of LaCroix while I was writing the story, although I put in a pretty solid effort.
We appreciate your good work on our behalf.
So I've not had it, and I keep wondering, like I see it at the grocery store, and I'm like, it's one of those where I'm like, I've got to find out what the fuss is about. But I also don't know if I want to spend $5 on something I'll hate. But yeah, coconut, you either love it or you hate it. There is absolutely no in between.
I mean, I have to say, and I posted on Facebook, on my Facebook page, that we're doing this show, and instantly my friend's debate turned to coconut and to whether they could tolerate it, whether they enjoyed it, whether they were all about it. Someone has pointed out, and I think this is accurate, it does seem like you're drinking suntan lotion. The smell of it is quite powerful.
It's a little bit like coconut water, which I think is a little bit also one of those, like you love it or you hate it. And I'm firmly on the anti side, but I don't know how much the coconut LaCroix tastes like coconut water. So if you know, you should call it and let me know.
The flavors actually are part of the story, right? There were originally six flavors and that has just skyrocketed.
Yeah, the flavors are very much a part of this. And this was one of the most fun and obsessive things I did while looking at this, which was try and go back and chart what they added and when. So if you go back to 2004, there's six like very normal flavors. It was lemon, lime, berry, orange, cranberry, and plain. And those were the flavors for as far as I know. I couldn't go as far back as 1992, which was when it started being manufactured more widely, but that was pretty stable for a very long time. And then starting in 2008, they're adding like 1, 2, 3, 4 flavors a year. In fact, I was really concerned that they were going to introduce a new one while we were making the illustration of all of the flavors and we'd have to start over.
Right. It's a very impressive illustration in the story. One of those earliest flavors is the one that I think I hear the most about, and that's pamplemousse.
Yes, pamplemousse, which is also probably single-handedly responsible for the mispronunciations as LaCroix that are out there, because pamplemousse is the French term for grapefruit.
And is it just grapefruit? Why do they not call
grapefruit.
It? Why not call it grapefruit?
I don't know. I don't know if in 2008 they were like, hey, like we're going to lean into this European air we have, because that's the only one for a very long time. That's the only flavor they named in a different language. And then last year, they started, or 2 years ago, they started adding what are called the curate lines, which are sort of taller cans. They're mixes of two different fruit flavors. And the shtick is one of the fruits is named in Spanish and one in French. So that they did sort of try to circle back to this international theme, but pamplemousse was the outlier for a really long time.
So that brought us cerise limon.
Cerise Limon, Pombaya, Pina Fraise. So.
All right. So those are not real things you can find anywhere except on LaCroix cans. If you have a question, call us at 235-2888. Jim in Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning. I love LaCroix. I get panicky when I'm down to six cans and am constantly scouring grocery stores for a reasonable price on LaCroix. All I drink is the orange. You know, I'm addicted to it. And I'll probably go through three cans a night, and I'm hoping that the Surgeon General doesn't come up with something to tell me that's bad for me, because the stuff is just wonderful.
Okay, well, Jim, thanks for your confession as well as your hopes for your health.
One more thing, Brian, yes. If I could add one more thing. If you add a little bit of just orange juice, a little tiny tad to your LaCroix, there was a drink called Orangina. I don't know how many people are familiar with that, but it really is a very close second to the Orangina, and it's really refreshing. So.
Good to know. Thanks for the tip, Jim. Appreciate you calling in.
Okay, thanks.
Libby Nelson, Jim is, I must say, a man who drinks LaCroix. There does seem to be a bias toward women. Am I wrong about that?
You're not wrong, although I think it's... In some ways, it's a bias on who drinks it, but it also may be a bias in how sort of social media is used differently by people of different genders. The sort of like pastel LaCroix image is probably something that looks more feminine, that maybe plays more into how women are using Instagram and such. So I know quite a good number of men who drink LaCroix. But it was something that was initially marketed very heavily to women. They would do things like sponsor Susan G. Komen walks and sort of get involved with breast cancer charities. And I think that's partly the result of good market research, because the people who historically have been really concerned about not just health conscious foods, but foods, things that have sort of a health halo around them, have been women. If you think about soda companies, when they try to market low calorie drinks to men, sometimes we'll go with completely different packaging and names. So while I work, we stock LaCroix in my office, which was one of the things that inspired me to do this story. And one of the things I noticed is that most of the women were drinking it already. After my story, a lot of the men started drinking it and like made sure to seek me out and let me know they were trying it.
Really? Because said something about their what?
I think they finally were just curious about like, oh, I wonder what all the fuss is about. And it does seem like the fuss seems to be coming slightly more from women, although, you know, it's a little bit ridiculous. It's sparkling water. Anybody can drink it.
You made a point of mentioning early on that you associated this with sort of middle class moms, mm-hmm. which is different than this sort of new reputation among Hollywood elites. is there a class thing happening with LaCroix and its brand image?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could probably write a dissertation on class and LaCroix, which is a sentence I never thought would come out of my mouth, but it's sort of true. It started out in the 90s very much pitching itself as a middle-class drink. It was the snooty people on the coast who drank Perrier and Pellegrino, and it was like the good, solid American alternative to these European sparkling waters, which also had some recalls and some other sort of nasty stuff going on at the time. The way we've sort of seen it in this resurgence is, you know, it's a whole foods drink. It's something that is very big with people who set trends. And it does seem to have moved a little bit, not necessarily up sort of the income or class scale, but in terms of who we think of as tastemakers. It's this very interesting product that started out really beloved by people who had good taste, but were not tastemakers per se. And then 20 years later was discovered by, you know, 20-somethings in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Has the drink itself changed at all? I mean, has the formula, at least in the flavors that existed back in the early days, has the formula stayed the same?
As far as I can tell, yes. The company that makes LaCroix is very, very publicity averse. And so I sent in a couple of requests and I was not able to speak with them. And then after the fact, they were like, oh, we loved your story. And I'm like, yeah, I would have loved to have talked to you while I was writing it. But so I'm not able to confirm that for sure, but I read through all of their annual reports, for example. They're a publicly traded company, and there was nothing in them that suggested that they had significantly changed the formulation. It's, you know, it's carbonated water and a little bit of flavor. There's also not that much you can do to change it.
And the water, they, unlike the, as you said, sort of the mythical source of Perrier or Pellegrino, it's just tap water, right?
It's just tap water. I think there actually may be a plant in Kansas City or very close to it. I don't have the map up in front
there
of me
is.
Now.
We believe there is, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's tap water with bubbles. It's if you're in a bar getting plain soda at a restaurant, it's exactly the same thing.
Let's take one more call from Maddie in Kansas City. Hello, Maddie.
Hi.
So are you a drinker of LaCroix?
I am, and only just recently, too. I didn't realize it was a trendy thing. I happened to be in the mood for something carbonated and thought I'd give it a try, and now I'm obsessed with it.
When you say obsessed, what do you mean?
I can't get enough of it. I whenever I start running out, I immediately have to go back to the store to get more because regular water just doesn't do it for me anymore.
And Maddie, is it pretty typical of you to be with the latest trends? Are you always drinking the coolest thing?
No. Actually, I'm normally just a water drinker, water or wine. I'm usually very far behind on trends. And in fact, nobody else I know likes this stuff. Whenever I first got it, all my family members and my husband, you know, they just grimaced. They said, there's no sugar in this. How can you drink this?
And yet,
but everything else to me is way too sweet. So I can't, it's like drinking cough medicine.
Huh. Well, all right, Maddie, you've finally hit on something. You're right in the heart of the latest fad. So good work.
Thanks.
Thanks, Maddie, for the call. I mean, that is a question I have, Libby, is have we seen the peak of this trend or is it all up from here?
That's a great question. It's a little bit difficult to tell because if I could forecast where trends were going to go, I would probably be doing something on Wall Street rather than
right.
being a journalist.
Covering education policy for Vox. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Education policy and sparkling water. My sister, who lives in Los Angeles, claims that she thinks LaCroix has already peaked, but on the other hand, she's still buying it. I asked several of the people I talked to, and there are definitely other seltzers coming onto the market. They had sort of the luck to be a nationally distributed company at the time when this trend was peaking, but it doesn't mean other people can't get in. I've been drinking a lot of Polar Seltzer lately, and that's one that's been mentioned as sort of a challenger to LaCroix. I just drink whatever we buy and for our office. I'm not actually someone who seeks it out all the time. So there are other brands that are competing. I would say the one thing that suggests that it might decline a little bit is the marketing team that was really behind this, helped sort of nudge along this amazing rise, has all left and gone to other beverage companies for the most part. So they're not all at one, but that was a really, from what I could tell, like very talented team of people that didn't do all the work, but certainly helped it along, and they seem to have left. So that's the one thing that people in the industry mentioned to me as a sign that things might not keep going. But on the other hand, soda drinking is still dropping. Sparkling water is still growing. I don't think if you're like buying LaCroix stock that you need to worry about it anytime soon.
Yeah, is there another brand in particular that seems ready to step into the gap if it opens up?
One thing I've heard about, which I'm not even sure is nationally distributed yet, is Spindrift, which is seltzer with a little bit of fruit juice. It has like 10 calories as opposed to no calories, and it's a little more flavorful. It's very good. I think they have hired somebody from the LaCroix team, and that's something that like maybe seems worth keeping an eye on, but you know, it's pretty difficult to forecast these things. And as far as I can tell from what I see at, you know, my local stores and what I learned while I was reporting this, they're still going very strong.
Well, and what has been the response to your article? You mentioned early on that you seem to get calls about this.
It was really overwhelming. Like in some ways it was a really nice validation that when you think you've picked out a phenomenon, and you're always a little bit worried that like, oh, have I just written about what my friends are talking about and nobody else cares? This was one where I was just like floored by the amount of readership it got, but also friends would tell me things like, many of my friends are in journalism, but some are not. And the people who are not would say like, oh, somebody sent that to me. My cousin read it and didn't realize I'd written it. And so that was something that was really, really interesting, was like more than anything else I've written, people were saying like, oh, like somebody sent that around at the office. And so it did feel like it was reaching a different audience than writing about politics and campaign policy and social policy necessarily always does. It was a really overwhelming response.
Well, that's Libby Nelson of Vox. She does cover education policy most of the time, but she also wrote a great article about LaCroix and sparkling beverages. Thanks so much for taking time to talk to us, Libby.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
It remains to be seen whether LaCroix will go down in Midwestern history, but if it does, it will become part of the Missouri Valley Special Collections at the Kansas City Public Library. The manager of that collection is retiring today, and he's spending part of that day with us. I'm Brian Ellison. We'll talk about archiving Kansas City history when Central Standard returns in just a moment.